It's always good to be with you and to share from God's Word. I was a little miffed as to how I would begin this morning, but God always provides a way. I listened as the tributes have been given to dads and fathers on this day, and listened to what was being said and all the great things about dads. But I want to tell you a little something. We didn't all have father figures or dads. I don't know my dad. Never met him, don't even know his name, don't know anything about him. Had a stepfather who really had no relationship with me. Perhaps blamed for his and my mom's younger son dying at a very early age and never being loved by him. Didn't grow up in a Christian home, far from it. Not in a Christian family by any stretch of the imagination. It was at 16 years old that I got up one morning lost, lonely, empty, wanting to have something better than what I was experiencing in my life, that I took about a five-block trip to a United Methodist church that was not far from where I grew up in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. It was there that my life began to change, and not only did my life begin to change, but my future would begin to change because I fell in love with some little girl who was 14 years old at the time when I was 16, and she caught my eye playing a game called Blockhead. And my first words to her were simply this: "You blockhead." What a way to start a romance, right? But it was during that time that God got a hold of my heart. I got involved with the youth group, became the president of the youth group, a youth group back then of almost 100. And God not only called me into the ministry during that time, which I refused to follow for another 12 years, but also gave me a father figure that I could depend upon, gave me a true father, gave me direction, gave me purpose, and began to shape my life in a way that, well, completely changed me. Pastor Dan asked me to speak this morning on John chapter 8, verse 12, and during the summer we're speaking about the I Ams of Christ and also the miracles. But I want to give you just that verse, even though personally as one who has studied the Word, I don't like to use one-verse messages. I believe that the best way to understand the text is to put it in context and to look at the whole. But I think that invariably today, this verse will speak volumes to us because I see in this verse three specific things about Christ that impacted my life and I believe will impact yours if you allow it to. John chapter 8, verse 12 simply says this: "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is making this statement during what is known as the Feast of the Booths in the Jewish faith. It is a time in which they gather and they remember the leading of God through the wilderness as the pillar of fire and cloud led them through that wilderness experience to the promised land. The very first night of that is very important, as it is during that first night that in the temple, in the area of women, or the place of women, there are candelabras that are set up, and at dawn or at dusk, those candles are lit. And the light from those candles is so bright, it is said that it will illuminate itself so that it can be seen from the city that far away. It is in that context, as Jesus is there and as those lights are being revealed and lit, that Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world. In other words, I am the one to follow. I am the one to seek. I am the Father that reveals all of perfection. Jesus is making a great statement here, and of course it causes some people to get a little upset, especially the Pharisees, who right away begin to condemn Jesus. And Jesus says, well, my witness is true, because it is not just me making that statement, it is the Heavenly Father. And in Jewish law, it took two to make a statement true. So consequently, Jesus is saying, this is a true statement. I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will never walk in darkness. The truth of the matter is that we as human beings walk in darkness. We are born into darkness. We are born into sin. Now, what is sin? It's wanting to have our own way, is it not? Now, if you don't believe that we're born into sin, you think of a newborn baby who at 2 o'clock in the morning says, I'm hungry. You try to make that child quiet without feeding it. It wants its own way. I see it every day in the stores. The whining kid who's there in the line who hasn't got what he wants, screaming and shouting and carrying on, and of course in this day of improper parenting, it continues on. We're born into that. We're born into darkness, and we need light to guide us. As a young man, I had no guidance. Praise the Lord, I didn't get involved in a lot of things that were wrong and detrimental to my life. In fact, when I hear what people went through, even as Christians, I thank God that He protected me all those years. But the truth of the matter is, we seek darkness because darkness is a selfishness. It is what we desire. We are all about ourselves. We are all about what we want. We're all about our own direction, what we perceive is best for our life, the direction that we think we should go. And because we're in that darkness, we cannot see God. We might feel an emptiness, but we don't know how to fill that emptiness. We may sense there is something missing in our lives, but we don't know where to find that missing element in our lives. We can't find the true meaning of our purpose. We cannot grasp the future, nor even everlasting life. We're living for the now. We're living for the moment. We're living for ourselves. Therefore, we need guidance. We need a light out of the darkness, because the darkness is full of danger. I started a new job over at the NAS. Boring. I'm in campus safety. And right now I'm working the 4 to 12 shift, and then I go to the 9 at night till 7 shift for a couple of weeks, and then I finally get on to the day shift where I was hired for. But the first night on 4 to 12, I was going through the campus, and it was dark. And as I come out from a pathway, there was a wall there. I wasn't paying much attention. As I came around that wall, there it was. No, it wasn't black and white. Thank the Lord. But it did walk on all fours, and it was called a raccoon. But it could have been dangerous. It could have been like my dog experience back in March, as she decided to run into the darkness of the backyard, only to be greeted by something black and white. But the truth of the matter is, we need light to guide us out of the darkness. We cannot survive without that which reveals to us the dangers ahead. Therefore, I think what Jesus is saying to us here when he says, I am the light, he is telling us that for us as human beings, those that walk in darkness, Jesus is our direction. He is our protection, and and He is our perfection. And I want to touch on those three subjects this morning: the direction, the protection, and the perfection of Jesus Christ, our life. John says and states for us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He reveals to us in that text in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the light coming into the world, the light to which our direction will be found. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot find our way to God. We may seek God, but without seeing God in Christ, we will never find God because we can never know God. Jesus is the revelation of God the Father. It was the pillar of fire and cloud that led the Israelites through their quest to the promised land. It was their direction. It guided their way. At night, the fire lit their way so they could continue that path. The cloud was there to guide them during the day. God provided direction for the Israelites that finally led them into the promised land. And I must tell you today that God is also leading you and I through the life of Jesus Christ into the promised land. Long before GPSs, we got through all these difficult situations with something called a compass. Now, I will guarantee you, although I know how to use a compass very well, I can guarantee you that if I had a compass here this morning, and I was going to bring one in, but I forgot, comes with age, that I could hand it to many of our young people and probably most of our older people, and you wouldn't have the foggiest idea how to use it. You might understand the fact that if you put the needle to the north, it points to the north. If you put it to the south, it points to the south, and so on and so forth. But if I were to ask you, how would you set that to guide you through the wilderness or through the woods, you wouldn't know the first thing about how to set it. You'd say, well, I'll just go north. Or I'll just go west. But you see, there's a glass setting on that you can turn, and there's ways of setting it up so that you can pinpoint your direction that most people don't understand today because they wait for some stupid voice to tell them over their telephone, turn right. I love that commercial where the guy is chaos. You like that commercial for, I think it's Geico or somebody, and he's playing the GPS, and he says, turn right, and the person turns right away and goes into the house. The truth of the matter is that if we do not have direction, if we do not have Christ leading our lives, if we do not have the light leading our way, we will face certain destruction. Psalms 119, 105, and 106 says it simply this way: your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, if Christ is living in our lives, if we are following Christ, then every step we take is illuminated so that we are not stumbling in the darkness. It is leading us in the path that we should take, the path of righteousness. It is guiding us. It is that which says, don't go this way, but go this way. For this is the pathway of righteousness for you to follow. Psalm 119, 11 through 16 says, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Jesus is the light that leads the way. He is the one that shows us the path to take so that we may not sin against God. If you are using the world as your reference point and you're following the direction of the world, I will guarantee you this: you will sin. Because our world is led by darkness, where Jesus is the light of the world. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I had to learn that because my path was led by nothing at all. I was being guided by what I thought was right. But it took God to lead me down the path of righteousness. I hear a lot of people, though, that say, well, Jesus told me this, or the Spirit told me that. Can I tell you something? The only way you'll ever know the truth behind what Jesus teaches is to know His Word. The truth of the matter is, the Word never contradicts the Spirit. The Spirit never contradicts the Word. If you're not living in the Word, if you're not following the Word, then you're not following Jesus. Because we know Jesus from the Word. He is the Word. It is in this book of 66 books that we understand the direction that Jesus leads. And then we follow. Because the Spirit, depending on what Spirit you listen to, can lead you down the wrong path. Our direction is found in Christ, and Christ is found in the Word, and the Word teaches us the direction we should follow. But not only is Jesus the direction we should follow, He is our protection. Again, alluding back to the fire and the cloud that protected the Israelites. You'll remember that as the Egyptians were following the Israelites, as they came upon them and were about again to destroy them, for that was Pharaoh's command, that it was the pillar of cloud that in some way that cloud caused them to get confused, and they began to kind of circle around and get lost. And then the Lord brought the waters, and the waters came over them and destroyed all of the Egyptian army. It was that protection that allowed the Israelites to continue on their trek to the promised land. Jesus is the light that protects us in the darkness. He is our guidance. He is our protector. He is the one who brings from empty chaos and confusion and brings it to order. You remember back in Genesis 1, at the creation of the world, all things were in chaos, but it was the spoken word of God that made everything come into order. It was the spoken word of God that put the planets in space, that puts the water on in the earth, that brings the life to the earth and brings beings to the earth. It is the word of God that protects us from the evil one. It was Jesus who taught us that lesson, was it not? In His battle against the principalities of evil, Jesus used the Word to combat the darkness. When He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Jesus didn't just simply say, well, Satan, you're wrong and I'm right. He used the Word of God to combat the tricks of Satan. And Jesus today is our protection. He is your protection. He is my protection. He saves us from the chaos of life. He reminds us of the Word of God so that we can stand against the principalities of evil. That we can stand the test of the world we live in. I think too often we as Christians tend to forget, especially in these days, that we are in a spiritual battle. The problems we face in this world are more than just a people problem. In fact, it's not a people problem at all. It is a satanic battle going on against the heavenly hosts. A number of years back, many of you maybe have read the books by Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness, those books that he wrote, The Prophet. I remember pastoring in England. And if you know anything about English culture, you know this. They're very superstitious. They believe in ghosts. They believe in spirits. It might surprise you that John Wesley, who is the founder of Wesleyanism, also believed in ghosts. And claims, he and his brother Charles, that there was a ghost in the parsonage, or the manse, they call it, over in Epworth, that their dad, Sam, used to argue with. And his name was Fred. In fact, John says that he saw Fred in the tree one evening outside. But the truth of the matter is that we are in a spiritual battle, whether we see it or not. The Word of God tells us plainly in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And I got to tell you that if you're really in tune with the Spirit, you can usually sense an evil presence at places or in situations. What do we do in those situations? For most people, they would run. But for the Christian, our protection is the Word of God. It is the light of Jesus. Jesus tells us, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." He promises us, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Jesus is our protection in this battle that we face day by day, which is a spiritual battle. And we have to listen to Jesus and follow Jesus if we're going to survive. In this day and age, there are so many voices that are speaking to us, are there not? In this day and age, we have the social media. And the social media is always right, right? I mean, if you want to know what's happening in our world, just go on social media or ask Google. Google's great, isn't it? You just ask it a question and it gives you an answer. It may not be the right answer, but you just ask it a question and it'll give you an answer. We shouldn't be asking Google anything. We should be asking the Lord. We should be teaching or learning from His Word. We should be absorbing that Word and growing through that Word. Paul says it this way. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are called to be protected by the light, but also to walk in the light. For eventually all these things of darkness will be exposed, Paul says. And only the light will last. If you ever walked into a dark room, you realize that it remains dark until you throw on that power switch. And those electrical wires allow the amperage and current to run into them and the light comes on. I have yet to walk into a lit room and suddenly darkness overtake it unless I go away from the source of the light and shut the switch off. But darkness is always overcome by the light. And in the world of darkness, our protection is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He is our direction. He is our protection. But He is also our perfection. John says in John chapter 1, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." But he says, "There was a true light which is coming into the world, enlightens every man." Jesus is our light. He is our example. He is perfection. He is all that is holy. He is all that is just. He is all that is righteous. Jesus is the very image of God, the uncorruptible God, the everlasting God, the holy God. If we want to know how to live our lives, if we want to know how we measure up to God's perfect plan, we need not look any further than Jesus. We are called to be the light to the world. But the light to the world can only be given if we are in touch with the light of the world. If there is not a conduit for us to be in tune with the Spirit of Christ, then we cannot share light with other people. In the song, People Need the Lord, it says, we are called to spread His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost than sharing Christ with one who's lost? But you can't share what you don't have. And you can't give light if you don't have the light. Our perfection is found not in ourselves. There is nothing you can do to make yourself perfect. There's no set of rules that we can give, that you can follow, that you could say, well, I followed everything to a T, therefore I'm perfect. Our perfection is found in Christ. It is in following Him. It is learning to walk as Christ walked, to live as Christ lived, to be like Christ was. Will we ever hit that in this life? Sadly not. We are a fallen creature. But it doesn't negate the fact that you and I are called to learn of the light, to follow the light, and to illuminate the world with that light. I didn't have a father to teach me, except my heavenly Father. And I'm still learning. There are days that I don't do too badly. And there are other days that I feel miserably. But the truth of the matter is, I realized early on that for my direction in my life, I needed the Heavenly Father, the light of the world. For my protection from the evilness of this world, from the spirits and principalities of evil, I needed to know Christ and His Word to combat them. And I learned that if I want an example to follow, I don't find it from Dad. And I don't care how good of a dad you've been, you're flawed. And I know something about kids. They'll find the flawed things. But I learned that I get my light from Jesus Christ. That I learned what perfection is not from others, but from Christ. And I strive to be like Him, failing at times very miserably, but still always following the compass that leads to Him, which is the light of the world. Let's pray. Father God, there is but one Father, and that is our Father above, but yet the world tells us that there are many fathers, many examples to follow, that this is right, that is right, leading us into darkness many times. But we have the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, who gives us the direction that we need if we will follow. If we will put aside our own selfishness, our own desires, if we allow God to direct our pathways, then we walk in righteousness. Lord, in this day and age where we talk about so many different controls of weapons or the need of protection, we also realize that our protection is not found in earthly things. It is found in the light of the world. It is found in the Word of God. For we do not battle against flesh and blood. We battle against principalities of evil. And by knowing Christ and knowing His Word, we have the greatest protection that we need. Protection against Satan, against those things, Lord, that will try to lead us back into darkness and evil. And Father, when we look for an example in this world to follow, we need not look any further than Jesus Christ, for He is our perfection. He is a perfection to follow, but He is also the perfection for which we should seek. And Lord, it is my prayer this morning that if there's anyone here that has been caught in the trap of following different lights in this world than Jesus Christ, that they would seek out the true light and follow that true light. That they would understand that direction comes from Him, that protection comes from Him, that perfection comes from Him. And Lord, they would lay down their lives today and be led by He who will never lead them astray. He will never forsake them. Who will always be there for them in any and all situations. We do thank You today, Lord, for those fathers who have tried so hard to be an example to their children. But Lord, our greatest desire is that those fathers who, as flawed as they are, would have pointed their children to Christ and not themselves, would have taught their children to follow the true light and to be like the true light. And I pray for the children, Lord, that they would do just that. Lord, as we celebrate this Father's Day with our dads, our fathers, with our families, my hope and prayer is that Jesus Christ would be the light that guides that fellowship. And that, Lord, in all things, He would be our guide. He would be our Lord. And He would be our King. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.